Okay, today is Daf Mem. We have a Sayyid Masech of Beta today. Today's Daf in the week, sponsored by Sherry and Beryl Daskal, Mazecha Nishmas, David Yechiel Michel, Ben Yeshua Chaim. Shalom Shalom and Aliyah. So I believe we're on the Mishnah on the bottom of Lama Tessam and Base. So the Mishnah is going to continue our recent conversations regarding Tchum on Yontif. So the Mishnah are going to, again, when it talks about items. So here we had said before that the items of a person follow his tchum. The question is going to be over here. Let's say I have my stuff being held at somebody else's house. So the Mishnah says, Mishahayu peirosav bi'iracheres. So I have my food items are in a different city. They're in the other city. It's outside, which is outside of the tchum. Bi'irvu b'nei oso a'ir, lahavi etzlo mi peirosav. So the people in city B, they made an Eir Tchumim, so they can reach me in my city. So they want to bring me my Peros. I didn't make an Eiruv, so I can't go there. But they made an Eiruv, so they can come to me. So they want to bring my Peros to me. So the Gemara says, Lo Yaviu Lo, they may not bring it to him. The Bnei Yir Acheres cannot bring it to him. Rashi says, Lo Yaviu Laslami Perosav, Ho'il Vuhu Lo Eiruv Sham. He did not make an Eiruv to get there. The Hakol Keragli Bailim. And so everything goes according to the Ragli Bailim. And therefore, since he doesn't have an Eruv to get there, so therefore his Peros don't have an Eruv. So therefore, since like he can't travel back and forth from there, his Peros can't travel back and forth from there, and therefore they can't travel to him. Even though they can travel, they can't bring his stuff. The Im Eruhu, but if he made an Eruv, and now he can reach that city, right, Rashi says, Im Eruhu Lechasham, Perosav Kamohu, then his Peros are like him, and he can travel back and forth, just like he can travel back and forth to city B, so too his Peros can travel back and forth to city B, and if he made an Eruv, and they made an Eruv, so they can travel to city A, and they can bring his Peros because of his Eruv. Right? That's the first part of the Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah. Mi Shezimen Etzlo Orchim. So I invite guests to my house. Rashi says, Mi Iracheres. I invite guests from a city, from a town that is outside of my Tchum. But the Yavo Itzor de Eruv. They made an Eruv. They made an Eruv Tchumim, so therefore they're able to get to my house because of the Eruv. They come to my house to eat. Lo Yolichu Biyada Manos. I can't give them the leftovers to take home, right? Lo Yolichu Biyada Manos, Rashi says, La Achar Suda Manos Biyada Mlebesam Osudas Lailos. They can have her at night. Why is there not a Hachana issue? But we'll leave that aside. But he says, Lo Yolichu Biyada, you can't give them leftovers. Why? Because since the food items belong to me, and I am in this town, and I did not make an Eruv to go there, my food items cannot go there. Okay. Ella, Rashi says, Ella, Gemara says, Mishnah says, Ella im kein zika lehem anoseim be'erav yontov. Unless I was makne to them their items before yontov. I guess I have like these things set aside. I'm going to say that if before yontov, I am going to say that these belong to my guests. And therefore, when they get there, they're theirs. They belong to the guests. And since the guests made an Eruv, they can take their stuff back and forth. Rashi says, Eli im kein zach lehem al yedei acher, because you can do zach in la'adam, so mefanav, you can benefit somebody, not in his, you know, like, holding up the bar mitzvah gifts, in the gift beforehand. He says, Menichem me'erav yantuf, shemasram balabai zeh la'adam acher v'mashiach. You do a kinyan to somebody else. But amalo, zachem v'manas halal, ploni bloni. I guess he plated all the items. He says, all this stuff belongs to Ploni Ploni. The Zachlanim Shlobofano, Vahayushalahem, Yom Elechim Yikaraglei, and then becomes theirs even before Yontif starts. And they can take it home with them because they made the Eruv. Again, the whole idea is that the payrolls follow the owner at the time of Ben Hashmashos. Itmar, so he asked the following question, or they said it to the base managers. Hamafki payrolls Eitzoch Avero. I have payrolls, and I give it to a shomer. Right? I give my payrolls to a shomer. I give it to Mati. Mati, you're my shomer. What's the story? In accordance with whose tchum do the payers go, right? Rav Amar Keragle Mishev Kirulo, right? Rav says, "I'll go according to Mati. He's holding on to them. He's the shomer. He has responsibilities, I guess. So therefore, they take on the tchum status of him." Shmuel Amar Keragle Hamavkid. Shmuel says, "No, it's the depositor. Mine. They go according to me. They're still mine. Even though he's shomer, they are still mine." So Gemara says, "Lema Rav Ushmuel de Oslu Tamayu." Let's say. Let's try to say, and then let's say, when we say Lemo, usually we're going to reject it. It says, Lemo, Rav, Shmuel, the Ozul Tamayah, they go in accordance with their Shita and Machlokas that they have elsewhere. Ditznan, there is a Mishnah in Bava Kamma. So the Gemara here is missing the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah there says, right, Mishahichlis Kalem Opeos Obehim Lechatzer Chavero Shaloberchos. So I bring in, let's say I bring my animal into your Chatzer without permission. I bring it in there, and my animal then does damage to your stuff in your possession. Right? V'ziko usam v'hemtosh v'alchatzer. My animal damages your animals. Your animals damage my animals. My animals, they're in without permission. So you will put, the balachatzer is potter from paying the nezek. And if my animal does damage to you, then I'm chayiv, because there was there without permission. Then the Mishnah then says, but in hichnis v'rishus, if I, we'll pick up in the Gemara now, if I brought this animal, you gave me permission. So yeah, sure, bring the animal into my chatzer. Right? Hichnis v'rishus, and then either your animal is the damage to me, or my animal is the damage to you, bala chatzer chayiv. The owner of the field is chayiv. That is the Tanakama, the Chachamim, because they say, once you agreed to take my animal into your possession, then what happens is you want to be a shomer, and it's all your responsibility. It becomes yours. That's the issue that says, oh, if I put the payros into your possession, since you have responsibility, they're yours. The chum would follow you. Rebbe says, no. Rebbe says, well, olam eino chayev, you, the owner of the chatzer, would not be chayev for any of the nezek, and therefore I would be chayev if my animal did damage. Achi kabal alav balabayis lishmor. Until you explicitly state, not, yeah, when you can put it into my property, but that doesn't mean I have responsibility towards it. Until I say I have responsibility, or I have to accept upon myself that responsibility. But so long as the field owner did not accept upon himself responsibility, Rebbe says it doesn't belong to it. He doesn't have responsibility, and therefore it's still the responsibility of the depositor. So, but Amar Rav Huna says Rav said halachas like the chachamim. Rav says halachas like the chachamim, where you don't have to explicitly take responsibility. Neshmul amar halachik Rebbe, that you have to explicitly state that I'm taking responsibility. So leim Rav the amar karabanan. We'll say that Rav, in our case, Rav says that by the din of the tchumim, it goes by the watcher, by the person who the stuff is deposited by. Right? That's because he holds like the chachamim, who says that when you're mafgid the stuff by your friend, the pikadon is as if it is in the rishus of the watcher, of the shomer. Therefore, Rav says so too by tchumim, that it's considered the pikadon of the nifkad, of the watcher, and therefore goes according to his tchum. And Shmuel say no, Shmuel amar karebi. Shmuel says that the payros go according to the mafkid, according to the depositor. He's not like Rebbe, because it's not in the rishus of the shomer until he accepts upon himself full responsibility verbally. He accepts it and says it's my responsibility. So too by tchumim. Just because I have it in his house, unless he accepts responsibility for it, it's going to be considered technically in my rishus for tchum purposes, and it'll follow my tchum. Gemara says no, because Gemara said lema, so we're going to reject. So amalach Rav. Rav says no. Ana de amri afilu l'rebi. Would I say by tchumim, right, by tchum, goes according to the shomer, we'll call him the shomer, goes according to the shomer, right, misha pikadon etzlo, that's afilu l'rebi. That even goes according to Rebbe, who says by the case of the shore that he has to explicitly accept responsibility, because ad kan lo kam Rebbe hasam ella de mistama lo kibal av kiusa. You have to go, what's the default? Rebbe's going to say the default by an animal, like a wild animal, the default is, I'm not accepting responsibility, or the shomer is not accepting responsibility until he says, I'm accepting responsibility. The default is not to accept responsibility. Aval hacha here with peros, hakibla lavni tirusa. You're talking about a case, I guess he's talking about a case where he accepted responsibility. So once he accepts the responsibility, I'll agree. He accepts responsibility and therefore goes according to his tchum. Ushmul amar Shmuel says, ana da amri afilu l'rabanan. I who say that the payros go according to the depositor, I can even hold like the Rabbanon, who say in that case that even without explicit acceptance of responsibility, it goes according to the Nifkad, according to the Shomer, because Adkan lo Rabbanon Hasam over there, they say that's in the Rishus of the Nifkad, and therefore he's Chayiv and he's Zakin, Ella, Deniche le Inish, Denechim Tori, Rishusi de Balachatzer, De Imazik le Lo Mechayiv. When people deposit it, they want it to be in the rishus of the person where they're putting the animal because they want to obviate themselves of responsibility. Abal hacha, but when it comes to tchumim, mi nichle le'inish plekom peros b'rishit t'chafrei. Why would I want, me the depositor, want my peros to be considered in your rishus for the tchum? I want to go to my sister's house in the other town. So I don't want, when I put it in your house, I don't want it to be in your rishus. It's just, again, it's the mindset. What are you viewing as the default? In the other case, by Baba Kamba, looking at the position of the depositor of the mafkid, I don't want it. It's no nicha to me that's in your rishus. Therefore, you're responsible. But when I deposit my payros on yontif, it's not nicha for me that's in your rishus, because then I can't take it to where I want to go. So So he says, so he can answer the machlokes. It doesn't necessarily mean that they line up. Okay. Tanan, so now we're going to ask a question on Rav. Again, Rav said, Rav had said that Paskin, what Rav said? Rav said that it's Kiragle mi shehifkidu lo. Rav said, if I deposit my peros in Mati's house, then the peros follow Mati's tchum, not my tchum. So Shmuel, so the Tanan, we're going to ask a question from our Mishnah. Right, our Mishnah said, Misha hayu peros of Ir Acheres. Right, so my peros are in a different city. The Irvu b'nei also a year, and they make an Eruv to bring my peros to me. Lo yavilo, they can't bring it. V'im Eruv hu, but if I made an Eruv, peros of Kamo, they can bring it to me. The Gemara says, but Iyamart, and if Rav, you were correct, that the peros follow the place where they stay, the peros follow the Shomer, right, the gold coin, Misha hufkid etzlo, they would follow Mati in that case. Karagle Misha hufkid etzlo, ki Eruv hu mahave. So who cares that I make an Eruv? Okay, my peros are in your house, and I make an Eruv, so you can bring them. You can bring them to me, but why? Why would my Eruv make any difference? According to Rav, it goes according to you because that's where they were before on Erev Yontif. So why does my Eruv matter? So Amravuna Amabei Rav. So Amravuna answered. They said in the house in the basement of Rav, he goes Sheyiched Lo Keren Zavis. He says the person you were watching my peros in the other city. They may put my peros in a specific corner of the house, and therefore you weren't mikabel the shmir of the peros. I put it there, and I'm just leaving it there. It's not going to be responsible. That's what Rashi says. It's not responsibility.
Before Shabbos, the owner's mindset before Shabbos to do on Shabbos. Was he planning to get?
Well, this is probably Yom Tov, but yeah.
Was he planning to get them on Shabbos? Why isn't taking that into account? If I had deposit by somebody, was I planning to go get them on Shabbos? In that case, it's I have the
right
mindset to move them on Shabbos. If I or Yom Tov. If I wasn't planning to do it, what's his mindset?
So what's the default? What if he doesn't have it? What's the default status without the mindset?
Word staying.
Right. That's the question.
What would I think?
That's stay. Okay. So then you go according to Rav. Shmuel says no. Right. Rashi says Sheyichelo Karen Davis Zavis the Oshile Besa. Right. Hilchoch Brishus Hamafihein. Right. He says that if you put him in a Karen Zavis, this is what Rashi says. You put him in this Karen Zavis. That means it's in your house. That means you like don't have any responsibility towards it. You're not watching it. You put it in his own room, and therefore it's considered belonging to the person who put it there. The Rabbi Chananel and other Rishonim, they say that the reason of Karen Zavis is different because if you put it in a Karen Zavis, right, well, that's how I just explained it. Right, that's how I just explained it. Right, that's Rashi, and that's Rabbi Chananel, and that's Miri. The Rambam says differently. The Rambam says that what happens is when you put it in a Karen Zavis, that means it's as if you set aside, like it's like an embassy. That it becomes the sovereign property of the mafkid. So therefore, it says if my property is in your house, and therefore that area is my property, so it's considered in my rishus. That's how he explains Karen Zavis. The idea is that it's set aside, and the shomer is not accepting responsibility, and therefore it belongs to the mafkid, and therefore it follows his tum. So that's the answer. That's question one. Answer one on Rav. Now Tashma. Ask another question on Rav from Ramishna. Again, Rav said that the tchum follows the place where it is, meaning by the watcher. Misha Zeman Etzlo Orchim. All right, so I invited guests to my house on Yontif from another city. They came because they had made an Eruv. Lo yolichu b'yodam manos. I can't give them their portions to take home with them. Elim kein zachel lehem manosayim me'erev Yontif. Unless I was mazak them, I gave it to them through somebody else, Erev Yontif. Now, Rav, if you're correct, why does that matter? Why does it matter? Right? Iyamart, like Rav, that if your mafkid payroll itself with somebody else, kiragli mishafkidu etzlo, ki zakalahem alei acher mayhave. Who cares? So now it belongs to them. It's in my property. So it should follow my tchum. Why should it make a difference? So Gemara says, no. Hachanami, so to hear, kaven shezakalahem, once I explicitly am kone it to them, I'm makid to them, that's as if kemisha yichilo karen zavis. It's as if I put them in like this corner where I earmark it that this is specifically theirs, and if I'm not responsible for it, and it's theirs. Or according to the Rambam, it's as if I gave them a little bit of property in my house, so it's considered in their property. The Ibaisema, or you can say Zakashani. This is supposed to be what you were saying, Mati. Once I'm Zaki it to somebody else, I've clearly made it explicitly clear that it's theirs and it's not mine. So therefore it goes according to their tum, not according to my tum. It's explicit. It's as if they said, this is yours, it goes according to your tchum.
Are you able to declare produce after on Shabbos or Yom Tov?
Maybe not. Maybe not, making a Kenyan. Maybe you can, because it's not a Kenyan.
It's not a Kenyan.
Maybe not. Yeah, but there's nothing to do with Hefker.
Because you say, well, I'm going to throw this away. It all depends
on where this Erev Shabbos. This whole thing is set up on Erev Shabbos. It has to be set up before Erev Shabbos.
That's one way.
The question is, how are they allowed to eat the food?
What do you mean? Why not?
How are you allowed to eat the food in my house? It's not stealing. If you can't give it to somebody...
Why can't I give it to them?
Because it seems like from here...
I can't give it for them to take it to their house.
What's an afkamina?
Because they're violating tchum. They can't eat it in my house.
I understand that, but why is that considered... why is it for one thing you're allowed to give it to them, and why not?
Because the first thing is they're eating it right here. They're not violating... They made an Erev. So they can eat it right here. They can't just take it out of the tchum. It's still because the parents now are in my tchum.
There's also an underlying understanding that somebody who comes to your house is going to eat your food. That doesn't mean that somebody comes to your house is going to take your food home to his house.
Right. I'm not following though. If I invite you to my house, you're allowed to eat my food.
Yeah, I'm allowed to eat your food, but I'm allowed to carry it.
You're not allowed to take it out of the tchum that you made.
The question is really the mechanics. So why you're not allowed to take it out of the tchum if it belongs to you?
That's the whole point. Because on Erev Shabbos, it didn't belong to you. It's all determined of who owns it on Erev Yontif. On Erev Yontif, it belonged to me. So that's why if I want to allow you to take it out, so on Erev Yontif, I'm mezakeh to you, and then you can take it out.
It seems like the problem is you can't transfer ownership on Shabbos.
Correct.
Then how can you eat it?
Because I'm giving it to you as a gift. It's fine. It's not yours. You're not eating. You're not transferring the ownership. You're allowed to eat my stuff. What transfer of ownership is there? Come to my house and eat my food. Here. That's stealing it.
Well, once I'm eating it, it's not your food anymore.
Why
for tchum is it not your food anymore?
Because tchum is determined by Erev Shabbos.
The point that Josh is asking, I think, is that if you transfer ownership Erev Yotzef or Erev Shabbos, then it's the guest, it belongs to the guest. Hmm. So are you saying to the guest, this is yours, but do you mind if I have some as well?
I'm not transferring all the food, I'm transferring his portion. And my portion is still mine. I don't have to give... There's no brayer. I did it beforehand.
He can have whatever he eats and takes, and not the rest.
That's different. That's it. I'm not going to give the entire thing. This is yours. This is mine. What's the big deal? I'm just not following why you're having a problem with that. Can you take that food and now be Mekadosh and Isha with it? Who does it belong to?
I understand, but
you can eat my food. It's not stealing.
Can you be Mekadosh and Isha with it?
What? So probably not on Shabbos, but I know.
Why?
Because I'm not making Kenyan on Shabbos.
And let's say you okay. So then it has nothing to do with whether the
food I don't know. But ownership, right? My Menachem Law School ownership is a bundle of sticks. Right, there are different types. There are different levels of ownership. I can own something for one purpose and not own it for another purpose. Right, there's all different property rights are different. So here too, also, you have to split up the property right to say who owns. I own it for this purpose. And I own it for this purpose.
Okay, so you give someone a gift on Shabbos. Okay. That's it.
But I'm not really giving a gift. I can't be mocking it to him. I'm just allowing him to eat my stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Right. All right. Rav Chana bar Chinaloi. So Rav Chana bar Chilai went to eat a suda in a different city, right? He was able to go there because he had a tchumim. So when he got there, he got the meat from the butcher, as Rashi points out. The tala bisra ba'avra d'dasha, and then he hangs up the meat that he bought, I guess, to dry it out on the door nahesh, right? The briach is a hesh on the door, the door of one of his host. So Asa, so Rav Chana bar Chinaloi came to Kamei de Rav Huna and asked Rav Huna, is he now allowed to take this meat that he bought in city B and bring it back to his city? Right? He can travel because he made the Eir Tumim. Right? So Asa le Kamei de Rav Huna, Amar lei, I at talis zil shakil. If you put it up, right? If you hung it up, then you can take it back to your city. V'inu talulach lo tishkol. But if the butchers were the one who hung up this meat, then it's forbidden for you to take it back to your city. So the Gemara is going to say, well, what's the reason over here? So the Gemara says, the Iihu Tala Mishakel, if he hung it up, why can he take it? Right, Baha Rav Huna Talmud Rav Hava. Rav Huna was a Talmud Rav, and he must paskin like his Rebbe Rav. And Amarav, Karagli Mishif Gidu Etzlo. It goes in the course for the person who it's by them, Erev Yontif. So okay, I bought this meat from the butcher, I guess Erev Yontif, but it's at the butcher's house. So why can I take it back? Why would it matter that I hung it up? How can I take it back anyway? So the Gemara says, Shani Avra Dadasha, he says it's different over here, since he himself hung it up on there, Dami Kimisha Yichelo Keren Zavas Dami. The thing is, if I hang it the meat, so therefore I never accept it upon you to watch it. I always wanted, but I don't know how this works, because this is taking place on Yontif. So how does that work?
The question is, does it belong to the owner of the lodge
anymore,
to him?
Right.
Because he hung out in his room,
like he's
staying
in. Rashi, Shana Avodah Dasha, Klomer, Shani Hacha, Ditalinu Iyu Guvei Ba'Avodah Dasha, Behem Loki Bluhu Miyado Lishamro. They never accepted upon themselves to watch it. The Kemisha Yichilo Karen Zavastami. Okay?
It's exactly Karen
Dasha. Right. So I'm going to lay Rav Hillel Rav Ashi. So Rav Hillel says to Rav Ashi, V'i Inu Tali Lo Shakil. Right. If they hung it up, right, why would it be usher to him? Right? The inhu tolile lo shakil, if the butchers hung up the meat, he would still be usher. Why would it be usher for Khan of Archinoi to take the meat back to his town? V'ha'amar Shmuel, didn't Shmuel say, a couple days ago, shor shel patam, the shore that is by the person who's fattening it up, shor shel patam, harehu keragli kol adam. It goes in accordance with whomever's buying it, because the shor shel patam, same thing with the butchers, initially their mindset is that it's going to be taken by anybody else, that it's not theirs. Right, Rashi says, the next Rashi, Alma came into Okme b'machshavasto, b'rishus kol mi sheikneihu, mutar konel l'lichon komo. The Shor Shel Patam and the butcher here, their mindset is that whoever buys it, it's going to be theirs. I'm not watching it. Whoever takes it, they're going to take it. So therefore, it's retroactively determined that whoever buys it, it's in their rishus before Yontif starts. The butcher has in mind that it's going to be in the rishus of whoever buys it. So who cares that the butcher's hung it up? It belongs to the purchaser. And therefore, the purchaser, it goes according to the purchaser's tchum. Another question. And if they hung it up, the butchers hung it up, he wouldn't be able to take it back. Didn't Rabbi Bar Chana say in the name of Yochanan, halacha ka Rabbi Dosa? The halacha follows Rabbi Dosa. What was the case of Rabbi Dosa? Look back in Rashi. The Amar, the person, he says, harehu karagle haroeh. That was the case that we saw in Daf Lamed Zayin, someone who gives his behemoth to the shepherd. Right? Even though he gave it to the shepherd on Yontif, it goes in accordance with the tchum of the shepherd. And we're dealing with a case over there. We said the case over there was that there was only one shepherd. Right? Since there was only one shepherd, then it's clear that you're going to give that animal over to that shepherd, and therefore whoever has an animal in the beginning of Shabbos, that's if they already gave it over to him, because you know what's going.
If there's only one option, then
right.
It's obviously.
So therefore, whoever has an animal, his dais is to give it to this person in the roa. So that is fine. Okay. Right, Rashi says the Amar Harehu Kaoli Roa Alma Keva the In Rovir Elahu Ba'anan Sahadi the Chol Mishi Yeshlo Behema Daito Shteh Karaglav Armina Basri Azel the Kol Shekein Hacha and certainly over here the Okvei Bahadur Rishay Ba'Daito the Day Tolle. So to over here, same idea is they are definitely going to give it over to the people who are purchasing it. They don't want to keep it. Just like over there, it's for sure being given over to the shepherd. So to over here, it's for sure being given over to the purchaser. Again, the shefted meat. It's got to be sold, and it can't be kept refrigerated, so it's definitely going to be given out. It's going to be given to the purchaser. So, and another question. Amrle Rav Ashi Rav Kahana, V'inu Tolule Lo Shakil. And if they hang it up, he can't take it. Vatanan, the Mishnah we saw on Daf Lama Zayin said, HaBehema VaKelim Kiragli HaBailim. The Behema and the Kelim go according to the Tchum of the owner. And so too here, even since they hung it up for his purpose, again, it's determined that he's the owner. So who cares that it's being hung or not hung? It belongs to him. So the Gemara says, forget this. The psak of Rav Huna here had nothing to do with tchum or not tchum. It had to do with the fact, Rav Chana bar Chinoloi, the gav rabuhu v'tori b'shmaite. He was a guy who was always busy learning. I guess one of these guys, he never really paid attention to everything else that was going around him. Right? Rashi says, El Shani Rav Chana b'Chinoloi, b'taymo labi shum tchum. Second one line. It has nothing to do with tchum. Okay, completely get that out of our minds. There's nothing to do with tchum. El Rav Huna, the Orilei, Rav Huna who gave the psak, Hachi Talmid the Rav Ave, he was a Talmud of Rav. V'Rav Amar b'shchitas chulin, Basar shenis alim mina ayin aser. If you have meat that you don't, you lose track of it, right? That's when the meat comes, when you order it, it comes sealed. It's called basr, shenis alim and ayin is asr. I don't know, maybe somebody switched it here. So how does that apply over here? So over here, we have Rav Chana bar Chinuloi, degava rabu v'tar v'shmaite. He's always busy with his learning. So he says to him, v'hachik amrle, I atolis, if you hung it up, islach simone begavei, v'lo masach daitimineh, then you must have seen it, and you must recognize and have a simon on there so you can recognize it. If you hung it up, you can recognize the meat, so therefore it will become mutter. However, so zil shkol, so then you can take it. The inu talilach, but if you never saw the meat, and you never hung it up, and you don't pay attention to things, right? Umasach daitach, and you were masif das from the meat, because you continue continuously learning, so you never had intention, you weren't following the meat, so then lo tishkol, don't take it, because you don't know if that's the meat that you put up, because it's basr, it's alim and ayin. Completely out of left field, totally different sock. If you go back into Rashi, Rashi says, "Shukavim shod with this alim in ayin aser vafilu tadloi biyated beis Yisrael." Even in a Jewish person's house, which is interesting. The Rav Chana agab tirda de shmaite, and Rav Chana was always busy in his learning. Mishkach shara sakav. He was like sort of like a savant. He was so busy learning, he was too cerebral, so he forgot everything else that he was supposed to do. So therefore, he wouldn't be paying attention to the meat. So if he hung it up, that means he paid attention, you could take it. If he didn't hang it up, you never paid attention, and therefore you may not take it.
Okay. It seems like Archibald saying it has nothing to do with whether it's a Jewish person or not. It's a worry that birds are going to switch to meat.
Really? Who's he quote for that?
He quotes the Chiddush on the Erie.
Bill quotes the Erie on that, okay. Rashi doesn't say that, but that's interesting.
We learned it in Pesachim, right?
We learned it in Chulin, I thought. And Pesachim also? You test the Hapa Pesachim? Okay. And of school in Tzadi Hei. So that's what the Rashi says that. okay. He didn't get the Kulin yet. Right, because Rashi doesn't say the verse. So he quotes them, you about the verse? Okay, that's interesting. Because Rashi says, Afilu toli b'yochad in the peg of Beis Yisrael. That's what Rashi says. Okay, two pshatim. Perfect. Next Mishnah, last Mishnah. Ein mashkin the ein shochatin esamid barios. So we're going to end the Masechta the way we started with Muksa. Right, so the Mishnah says, you may not feed or give to drink, and you certainly may not shecht on yontiv the midbarios. The midbarios are the animals, the wild animals, because they're not domesticated or near you, so it seems to indicate you don't have das on them, and therefore they would be muksa. Aval mashkin v'shochtim esavaitos. So the domesticated animals, you can feed them, and you could shecht them on yontiv, because they're not muksa. Right? Rashi's Mishumoksa. Okay, perfect. Right, the Elu and Baisos, so what's considered domesticated? Halonos Be'ir. They sleep in the city. They may go out during the day, but they come back into the town, into the city at night, and therefore they're considered Baitos. Right, that's Baitos. And Midbarios is Halonos Be'afar. They sleep out in the meadow. They come into the city. They're not city dwellers. They don't come over to the town. They sleep out there. So Lamli Meimor Mashkin V'Shochatin. Why do I have to say that I can't feed them and shech them? If I can't give them to drink, that means they're not my animal. Therefore, I can't shech them. It's the same. Why both? So Mer says, Milza agab orcha kamashma. It's just teaching you something else along with it. When it comes to shech an animal, dilashki inish behemto v'har delishcho. First, give your animal to drink, and I guess hydrate them before you shech. Mishum sircha demashcha. Because I guess that makes it easier to flay the skin. So give them, make it hide so the skin's not dry. Okay. Tana rabbanan, lantin abraisa. Elu hein midbarios. The elu hein baitos. These are the midbarios, which you can't shecht, and these are the baitos, which you can. Midbarios are kol she yotzos bepesach. They go out in the spring season. The roos ba'afar, and then they graze out in the meadows. The nichnas revir rishonan. They come back now with the opening season, the beginning of the rainy season, the beginning of Mar Cheshvan. The elu hein baitos, and what are the baitos? That kol she yotzos veroos kutzotchum, ubaos balonos betochotchum. They go out graze, and then they come back at night. So Rebbe Amar, no, Elu ve'Elu Baitos. Those are death Baitos. Even that the ones that go out and graze during the summer, and they come back, that's still considered Baitos, right? Elu ve'Elu Baitos. Elu Elu Heim Midbarios. So what's considered a Midbarios? Kol Sheyotzos Baros Ma'afar. They go out, and they graze in the meadow. The Ein Nechmasos L'Yishu. They don't come back to the habitated areas at all. That's a different definition. Now the Gemara asks, well, wait a second. What's going on here? We're saying the problem here is seems to be because of muksa. Now, lumi islei l'rebi muksa. Does Rebbe hold a muksa? Meaning, why is Rebbe putting this here? Why is he talking about muksa? We meet easily the Rebbe muksa. Did Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe's son, ask Rebbe about the following case? Patzile tamara. So these are these type of tamarim that they don't, Rashi says, they don't ripen when they're on the tree. They have to be plucked from the tree, and they have to put in these chosolos. And that was the case where you, can you rip open those chosolos on Shabbos? That was a whole story about opening packages. Can you rip and open these chosolos? Because these are these kalim that are made from leaves, and they warm up these tamarim, and they ripen them. So, Rabbi Shimon Mahu, these patzilei tamara, I guess, are according to Rabbi Shimon, Shimon Bar Yochai, who holds that there's no muksa, what's the din? Right? He doesn't have an expansive view of muksa, so are you allowed to eat these items before they really ripen, or maybe they're muksa? So Amr Lei, so Rebbe said back to his son Rebbe Shimon Bar Rebbe, not the original Rebbe Shimon, Ein muksa le Rebbe Shimon elag grogros utzimukin molbad. There is no muksa, Rebbe Shimon doesn't hold a muksa, except for the case of grogros utzimukin. So we'll figure that out in a second. But you see from here, from the fact that Rebbe explained Rebbe Shimon, that seems to indicate that Rebbe holds, like Rebbe Shimon himself, that there's only muksa in the case of grogros utzimukin. So therefore, by these behemoth midbarios, there shouldn't be muksa at all, because they don't fit into the category of grogos and sumukim. So why in this brisa do we have Rebbe says, elub elub baitos ve elub elub midbarios? I mean, Rebbe's making a distinction, and he's saying there are some animals that are midbarios, and if they're midbarios, they're going to be muksa. But Rebbe, you just seem to indicate that there is no muksa except for grogos and sumukim. Now what's the issue of grogos and sumukim? So the Garashi, Rashi says, elub grogos and sumukim, those are the raisins and the dried, right? Shehein mitchila ru'uin lachila. Originally they're grapes, and they're roy to be eaten. V'hu docha osam b'yadayim. And you push them aside with your hands. You did something to push them aside. Lahalosan liyashav, to raise them, to bring them to the roof, to dry them out. V'shuv einan ru'uim ad sheyepshu. And they're no longer roy to be eaten until they dry out. So there are two problems, right? So aval elu, but these cases, right, these pitzile tamara, lo doch osa b'yadayim. He didn't push them out with his own hands. It's just naturally that's the case. The ikud achlim in ayahachi. And there are some who eat this in this little bit of a raw state. So kasaka daita midaparsley milsa the Rav Shimon amok Rav Shimon sirei. So he sits. Rebbe is explaining Rav Shimon. We think he holds like Rav Shimon. So Rebbe's holding like Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says no muksa except for grogos utzimukin. So why these midbarios are you concerned about? If you hold no muksa, these midbarios shouldn't be muksa, and you should be able to shech them on yontif. So the Gemara says, Ibai Seima, number one, you could say, Hani Nami, these behemos that don't come into the town at all, ki grogros utzimukin dami. They're similar to grogros utzimukin because you never have intention whatsoever to ever have them. Because they're basically pushed aside. Even though we said pushed aside with your hands, this is similar to that. Right? Rashi says, Midbario she'en nifnasos lo yishuv klal, ki grogros utzimukin damim, she'mekatsa osa me'etzel v'yadayim. It's as if you pushed them out with your hands, because you had no intention ever to have them. So it's the same thing as grogros and simukim. So Rabbi Shimon would agree. Rabbi Shimon would agree that there's muksa in this case. The ibayis ema, or you can say the devar of the Rabbi Shimon kamar. Maybe Rabbi's just answering. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, this would be the rule. But I don't hold like Rabbi Shimon, right? Bless leisrielay. I hold there is muksa. That's why I'm concerned about midbarios. You asked me a question about Rabbi Shimon. So I'll ask you in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold muksa, will make a distinction, and he will say that the Petzilei Tamara are mutter, but the Grogos and Simukim will be also because of muksa. If the Ibai's Ema, or you can say the other way around, I hold like Rabbi, that there is no muksa, but in that Mishnah that's discussing about the Midbarios and the Baitos, and the Midbarios, I'm going to say, according to those who are holding muksa, what would be their Shita, what would be considered a muksa item? According to the words of Rabbanan, right? Lididi, according to me, a muksa. I hold like Rav Shimon, there's no muksa. Elihu, to the Rabbanan, we're holding like Rav Yehuda, that there is muksa. Odili miyos, at least you should admit to me that hecha de yotzos veros bepesach v'nichnasos bevi arishona, that those that go out in the spring and come back in the fall, that's still considered vitosen, that's still considered domesticated, and you should still admit that those are not muksa. But Amrulay, and they said back to him, no, Amrulay Rabbanan, lo midbarosin, those are midbarios. So we go back to like so psak, like what do we go? What's go, the rift holds that we hold that the midbarios are muksa on yontif, they're muksa on yontif. Because on Yontif, go back to the beginning of Masechta, what we said, Rav Nachman said, that on Yontif we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. On Yontif we hold of Muksa, and on Shabbos we don't hold of Muksa like Rabbi Shimon. So these medbarios, there's something that they wouldn't necessarily be considered muksa on Shabbos if you could find a permitted use for them, but on Yontif they would be muksa and you wouldn't be able to shecht them. The Baal HaMor says no. Baal HaMor says no, forget that whole thing about splitting between Shabbos and Yontif. He says, because we had a Gemara early on that said about whether you can go into the water on Shabbos and cool off. Right? He said you can do that on Shabbos, but you can't do that on Yom Kippur. The Gemara then said it can't be that something would be okay to be done on Shabbos and it would be Usur Yom Kippur. Right? So if that's the same case, so how can something be Usur on Shabbos like Muksa? How can something be Mutter on Shabbos like Muksa and then be Usur on Yontif? Right? The only difference between Yontif and Shabbos, the Baal HaMor says, is Ochol Nefesh. So the Baal HaMor has a big Kiddush. He says, like, we hold like Rav Shimon even on Yontif. Forget Rav Nachman back in the beginning of Masechta. We hold like Rav Shimon even on Yontif, which is a problem because we just said we have all these Stam Mishnayos and Beitza that seem to hold like Rav Yehuda. So what the Baal HaMor asked himself, what about all these Stam Mishnayos? So he says, some stuff that's Usur on Shabbos, even for not for Muksa purposes, could still be Usur on Yontif for Muksa purposes. So therefore, you have these animals that would be Usur on Shabbos. Because you can't do anything with them, because they're Usur on Shabbos. Why? Because you're not allowed to do Shechita on Shabbos. So if it's Usur on Shabbos, even for a non-Muksa purpose, it can still be Usur on Yontif for a Muksa purpose, and it goes through these Mishnayos to prove that these Mishnayos give me an Isur of Muksa on Yontif, and it follows that on Shabbos they're Usur, but for a non-Muksa reason. The Ravid defends the Rif, the Ramban defends the Rif, so the Rif and the Rambam both paskin that there is Muksa on Yontif, so therefore the Shulchan Aruch, in his way, Shulchan Aruch will paskin that there's Muksa on Yontif. Shulchan Aruch takes the three Rishonim, takes the Rif, the Rambam, the Rush. If two out of three say the Halach is one way, that's what the Shulchan Aruch usually paskins. So the Rif and the Rambam hold that there's Muksa on Yontif. Shulchan Aruch paskins there is Muksa on Yontif. The Ramah paskins like the Rush, whose son the Torah paskins like him also, says, so on Siman Tav Tzadieh, that maybe there shouldn't be Muksa on the Yontif either. Bottom line is, though, that there's we paskin like Rav Shimon on Shabbos. Right, so technically, why is there muksa on Shabbos if we pass in like Shimon? Shimon says less lay muksa. The only case he said muksa was by Grogros with Simoki and Bilvad. We have lots of muksa svarim over here that describe all those muksa on Shabbos. So if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, Shimon Shin Ches, he explains that he goes through different categories of muksa that are similar to Grogros with Simokin. So at the end of the day, in other words, in these extreme cases, Rav Shimon does hold the muksa. So the Aruch HaShulchan lists they have Muksa machbas mius, something that's disgusting. Baslas adavar usser. The grogros of tzimukim, something that you pushed aside. Klisha malachdul isser. Something that's muchbas machmas gufo, like stones. Something that's muksa machbas mitzvah. And something that's muksa machmas kisaron kis. These things Rav Shimon all agrees to because of these are these extreme cases. So you may pass like Rav Shimon that there's less lay muksa. It doesn't mean that there's no muksa. It's like what we've been saying for the whole time, the past 40 days. He has a less expansive view of muksa. There still is a concept of muksa. So even on Shabbos, when we pass like Rav Shimon, you can still have all these muksa books. Okay, Hajjan Lach Mashilin Peiros Lusliko Maseches Beitza. Hajjan Mashilin Peiros Lusliko Maseches Beitza. Hajjan Lach Mashilin Peiros Lusliko Maseches Beitza. Want to say a Kaddish? Sure. Chananim Medikasha Omer. What, I'll make a seal? Make a seal? We have time? Okay. You can say the long Kaddish then. You got to get the Kaddish in the back of the... That's the big one.